Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the parable in our gospel lesson, our Lord includes these words, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." This is our text. You may be seated. This parable of Jesus is so very familiar, maybe too familiar. There was a bunch of sheep, one of them got lost, so the shepherd left the bunch behind, went into the open country, looked for the lost one, and when he found the lost one, he put it on his shoulders because that's what good shepherds do. And later he gathered his friends together and he said, "Guess what? I found the sheep that was lost." Isn't that great? And one assumes that his friends were genuinely happy for him and responded with something like, "Yeah, that's great, good for you." It's so familiar that we need only hear Jesus' introduction. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep, and immediately, I believe, in our minds, we're already at the conclusion. And in that way, we have the tendency to miss the drama that Jesus is intending to portray. Now, perhaps that's because we aren't shepherds with sheep in open country. We're more likely suburbanites with minivans locked securely in garages. But even so, we need to appreciate the drama. And to do that, I invite you to put yourself briefly into the life of Mrs. Shanti Burke. Mrs. Burke had a few lambs, not 100, just 3. And these lambs had a little suburban pasture to play in the foothills of California at Santa Cruz. And one spring day some years ago, one of them wandered away, presumably into the foothills. And as afternoon turned into evening, the children were supposed to be gathered around the dinner table, but one was missing. So Mom presumably went to look around the yard, perhaps frustrated that dinner was now getting a little bit cold. But Aiden wasn't there. And then the frustration must have turned into agitation as she probably broadened her search to include perhaps a couple of yards on the block and raised her voice so that Aiden would hear when she called that it was time to come home. Aiden didn't come. And agitation turned to desperation. And she concluded that she could not search alone, so the sheriff was called. And soon after arriving, the sheriff called for search and rescue teams as bad weather moved in. But you don't stop searching for Aiden just because it's raining. Indeed, more volunteers joined as the storm worsened throughout the night. Not 10 or 20, but hundreds of people left the comforts of their home to participate in this search and struggled through dense forest and driving rain that battered them all night long. They searched and searched for little Aiden, who was not yet 4 and very lost. All night and into the next day, hundreds of people searched for Aiden. And after 20 long hours, he was found. Unharmed, a little scraped up, very hungry, and undoubtedly scared. When Aiden was restored to the arms of his mother, it is reported that some of the searchers cheered and others just wept for joy. "Rejoice with me," his mother surely expressed somehow. "I have found my lost little lamb." I tell you, there was more rejoicing for one lost little sheep than for any of the other 99 in all of the city of Santa Cruz on that spring day in March. And that is the drama of the kingdom of God. To that, I think I can relate a little. Perhaps you can too. Now, it's easy to imagine getting involved in such a search effort. Surely, if you received a call sometime this evening about a missing child, you would drop everything that you could and join in that search. And the sheriff of Santa Cruz said that all of these people recognized the huge priority of that moment. But that's not the kind of searching that Jesus was doing on the day when he first told this parable. There were no rescue teams, no cry of alarm sounded in the community. The searching he was doing appeared to be much less dramatic, even appeared to be repulsive to his critics. Why would this man associate with those people? Those outcasts, those sinners. But in fact, his search was no less important, no less urgent, and in many ways, it was more difficult. But Jesus was there to seek out and search for the lost, those who were in plain view. And that's the way it usually is in the kingdom of God. The lost are in plain view. Sometimes you can see them right in front of you all day long, knowing all the while that they are lost. Perhaps they sit in your classroom or accompany you on the job site. Perhaps they sit at your dinner table or at your family reunion. But in those cases, we usually don't rally our neighbors to help in the search. We usually just pretend that those people aren't lost. Or at least we pretend that they can find their own way home, that somehow they'll find their way into the flock of Jesus, even when in our hearts we might believe that that's unlikely. And that is why Jesus came searching, even among the outcasts. Because he knew that neither the upstanding nor the reprehensible could find their own way home. The truth is, whether we care to admit it or not, is that we have all been among the lost. In fact, we are in the flock today because Jesus has come after us and carried us back. One of the marvels of a confessional church like this is that we recognize this truth about ourselves. We recognize that every week, in various ways, we go wandering off into the foothills of our own desires, through the dense forest of temptation, and get ourselves lost in sin again. I confess that I am by nature a poor, miserable, and lost sinner. Week after week, our Lord brings us back. We who are in plain view to him all the time. Even when we think that the forest of our sin is so dense, the fog of our doubt so deep, the night of our hearts so black that no one could ever imagine how lost we might feel. In the lives that we keep so very private. But we are always in plain view to him. And Christ's desire is always to restore. And by his word and the sacramental gifts, he assures us that we are among the found. In St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, he explains how Jesus came, quote, to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of God the Father. He rescues and restores us to the flock. And what he carried on his shoulders was not the weight of our bodies as a shepherd would bear the weight of a lost sheep. What he carried was the weight of our burden. He carried the weight of sin. And as the good shepherd, Christ faced the fiercest human enemies and moreover the holy wrath of God the Father, and he laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for you to make sure that you could be brought home safely. In doing so, he also teaches us that we need to be about the business of searching for the lost, especially those who are in plain view to us. We need to be willing to make the effort to reach out, to endure that awkwardness or the resistance that sometimes comes when bearing witness to the Good Shepherd. Whether that's in our community or even in our own families. Because the one who is lost in plain view to you is really dramatically lost. In a wilderness far more dangerous than the foothills of Santa Cruz, even to a little four-year-old. Because the wilderness that so many are lost in today is one that goes on wild and unrelenting for eternity. And one who is lost there when this earthly life ends is lost indeed. There will be no rejoicing, no cheers, no weeping for joy, just lost. Praise God. He comes searching for sinners, for the likes of us. He makes no distinction. He doesn't look at your resume, at your history, at your pedigree. Every one of us who came here this morning, and in fact, every one of us who stayed home, is a part of this drama of the kingdom of God. We are indeed called to be a part of it. But one final note on our role in this great drama. Our Lord calls us to seek the lost for the sake of the gospel. But we are not called upon to rescue souls unto eternity. For that is finally and exclusively the work and will of God. On that fateful September day, and in the days that followed, scores of workers searched tirelessly and heroically for the physically lost among the wreckage and the rubble. And as you will likely recall, few were found. The rescuers were called only to labor, to seek, to try. The result was out of their hands. And so it is with the kingdom of God. Let us never weary of the labor of witness and outreach. But let us always acknowledge that it is God at work in the hearts and minds of hearers through the power of His Holy Spirit. I will act, declares the Lord through the prophet Ezekiel in many and various ways. Praise God that as He acts on our behalf and in our lives, He desires that each one of us remain among the found forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds found in Christ, now and always. Amen.